Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's Donna Partow, and I want to welcome you to day four of Make This Your Best Year Ever. And it's just so exciting. It's just so exciting. sometimes you should just know that the harder, you know, we want to be balanced. We don't want to see a devil under every rock, you know, and I used to be like that. You know, and I almost gave more publicity to the devil than God. You know, whatever happened, I was like, oh, the devil. And God's like, hello. I'm like pretty much running the universe. You know, maybe, you know, think about me and what I'm doing once in a while, Donna. Anybody else? You know. But there is something to be said, you know, when you're just... You feel like you're supposed to do something and there's all these obstacles. And it's like, I don't think I could do it. Then you have to discern. And this to me, I'm being real transparent. I think this is the biggest thing I struggle with in my Christian life. And it probably goes back to what I shared the other day about being trained as a child, not to trust myself. But okay, so I feel like God has asked me to do this. And now I'm facing all these obstacles. Is that God? Am I having like a Balaam moment? And you know, there's a donkey in the road trying to stop me because I'm going in the wrong direction. And God's like, danger, warning, don't go there, Donna. What are you thinking? You didn't hear correctly. Or is the enemy like, oh, that girl's going, oh, come on, let's get some demons on this. Donna is heading straight into her destiny, or Stephanie or Shannon or Jim or whatever, you know, they are on the right road now. We have been distracting them. We have been exhausting them for decades. And now she's finally on the right path. We are in people. We need to mobilize. We need to mobilize. We need to get down there, throw some obstacles, throw some rocks, throw some crazy people, you know, like to do what it did. Just hit him or hit her with everything we've got, because that woman, that man, they're on the right path now, and they're going to do so much damage to us. So let's mobilize. And to me, y'all can let me know if I'm the only one who struggles with that. I'm just like, okay, so which one is it? I don't know. And then I have to call like my ace prayer warriors. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not trusting myself here. And one of the people I've learned to really trust is my oldest daughter, Leah. And I said to her, you know, I've been excited all year about offering this new program, Make This Your Best Year Ever. And, you know, I love this stuff. And I've been sick and I've had this and I've that and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, Mom, you've got to do it. And I'm like, I don't know if I can pull it off. I've got to start, I've got to put together all the material. I've got to put together the launch. I've got to do, there's just a ton of stuff that needs to be done to create a new class. I just don't know if I can do it. She's like, Mom, you have to do it. You love this stuff. This is like one of your passions. You've got to do it. You got to go for it. That's it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go and I'm going to do it. But even after that conversation, there are just so many obstacles. And I'm like, but I am doing this. This is, God wants me to do it. Had confirmation. I prayed with a couple other people. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. And so I just, don't be surprised. As Peter said, like, don't be surprised by the fiery trial. I mean, hello, why would you be surprised? Why would you be surprised that once you lock on to the vision and the mission and the destiny and the call of God, why would you then be suddenly surprised? Like, wait, the devil's nervous? Why would he be nervous? Just because I'm now going to do what I was put on earth to do in the first place, and he's losing his hold on me, and I'm asking new empowering questions, and God is moving and miracles are happening. Why would that make the devil pitch a fit and try to discourage and distract me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't be surprised. And I have no idea why I shared that, but I'm sure it's for somebody. And I'm glad we're here. I guess what I wanted to say is, wow, was my daughter right? She was so right, because the testimonies that are coming in already in the first 3 days, and even just the presence of God on the webinar and how he moved, just the response was incredible. So confirmation. And I just, if God has done this much, if the devil did that much to try to block this class, and God has done so much in the first 3 days, I just can't even imagine the glory land that we're heading for on day 21. And that's the big secret. You gotta be here on day 21. Little bits with consistency. Everybody's here on day one, day two, day three, day four, not so much. Day 10, day 11, you know, that messy middle, you know, when you're kind of muddling through. But just make a decision. Just make a decision. You know, I'm gonna be there every day, or I'm going to listen to the replay every day. 21 days. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to make a decision because my life is worth it. My destiny is worth it. It's worth it to take the first 21 days, you know, of the year and figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of the year and the rest of my life. I'm worth that. My destiny is worth that. So just make a decision. My pastor always says, you know, make a decision once and be done with it. I go to church on Sundays and I have to wake up and redecide that, right? So Father, we just thank you so much. And we say, you know, would you send the Spirit now for Jesus' sake? Would you send the Spirit now for Jesus' sake? Holy Spirit, would you come now and just speak to your people, because I know that you have a word, and Lord, some days are going to speak more to certain people than others, but Holy Spirit, you know who all the students are, you know them all by name, you have gathered them, and I believe that you're going to speak, and we want more than anything, we want your presence. You know, I'm with Moses. Moses said, look, if your presence isn't going, I'm not going either. That's what I told God. I'm like, look, if your presence is going into this class, then I'll do it. Otherwise, no. If it's just, you know, a bunch of checklists and charts and goal setting, what's the point? They can get that. Yeah, you know, they could Google that. But if your presence would lead us in a personal way, if your presence would come each day and really heal and minister and encourage and comfort and challenge and change lives. Well, then this is just really the way I want to start. I want to start every year like this. So come, Holy Spirit, meet with us here. Speak to your people. Amen. We have a ton to cover. I need to find another gear. I can't be dilly-dallying. We got to get moving. Okay. We're going to start with a testimony. By the way, please share your testimonies, because then I can share them with a much larger audience. And these recordings are, God willing, will be shared for many, many years to come with other students who take this same class. So on December 30th, Donna asked us to complete the sentence. This would be the best year of my life if I came to the end of it, looked back, and realized I had finally fill in the blank. My answer was, completely retired from my current job and started working with my friends, Lori and Rojo the Llama, in their nonprofit organization, Mountain Peaks Therapy, Llamas and Alpacas, which I just totally want to see this. I also said I needed to set some specific goals to make sure that happens in 2016. Okay, so she's got the vision and putting together a plan. Tonight, exactly 1 week since I put it in writing, I got a call from Lori confirming that they have booked me to house sit and guard their llamas and alpacas for a whole week at the end of January. See, our challenge is, you know, let's do something in January. I'm very happy. All of you said, hey, I want to get a vision for this entire year and have a plan for the entire year. I'm on board. We're doing that. I promise. And then you're like, I need to retrain my brain. We're totally focusing on that. But I'd love to encourage you to just say, Lord, January. I do want to get something specific done and accomplished in January. So like, okay, wow, January was epic. So what do I do in February? Okay, so what do I do in March? What do I do in April? And get that momentum going. So I like this. Pretty much as this class is wrapping up, boom, she's on it. And by the way, you know, you have 30 extra days in the classroom. So 21 days, I'll be here every day teaching, encouraging, and then I'll pretty much exit the classroom for the most part. But you can stay there for another 30 days and continue working for the material, continue encouraging one another. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, she continues. Next week, we have a meeting scheduled to talk about my goals and dreams, including the possibility of me moving across the river to Vancouver to join their team. And that was Lori's idea. And to help with hands-on care of the animals and providing bookkeeping and services for the organization. How amazing. guys, that was by day three. And here she is with the llama. I had no idea llamas were like friendly. I need to know more about this. I wanted to mention to you, I think it was Jill came up with this. This is a website that you can go to, photoflexer.com, and the URL is on the screen, and you can go there and make a vision board, and it really looks cool, and it's free. There's like a weird pop-up that comes when you land on that, but I searched three different sites, PC World and some others. It is legit. It's safe to use. There shouldn't be malware or anything like that. I checked a bunch. Remember that you should be asking, you know, why is this just perfect no matter what happens? You know, somebody said, you know, it's snowing and everything is canceled. That, you know, that's just perfect. Another woman, I fell down the steps. Why? Because I got up in the middle of the night in the dark to sneak downstairs to eat more food. So, you know, it's really just perfect. Then I fell down the stairs because it's God's way of saying, you know, danger, warning, we're heading in the wrong direction. That's all just perfect. So whatever happens, just ask that question. Why is this just perfect? And then, of course, your new question. I don't want to reiterate that because we've got a ton to do. We are still on step one, people. We are still on step one, but we're wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up today. Clarify your vision. Day four is about refining your vision. Key verses that we've been talking about, where there is no vision, the people perish. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And may he give you the desire of the Father of your heart and make all your plans succeed. See, God can't make your plan succeed if you don't have any. He says he's going to make all your plans succeed. Well, what if you don't have any plans? See, God's got to have something to work with. And he may redirect your steps, but it's hard to redirect your steps when you don't have any steps. Right? God says, I'll direct your steps. Well, what if you're not stepping? What if you're just sitting on the couch? Well, he doesn't give you any promise for that. Hallelujah. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God will direct you sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Unless you're sitting there worshiping and praying. You guys know what I'm saying. You get the message. I mean, if you're sitting there worship, you know, reading the Bible, that's a different thing. If you're sitting there watching television, you know, I'm not sure God, you know, what's God going to do that? Anyway, get up and get moving. We've been working on our have, do, be lists. You know, we did the goal storm and we broke that down into have, do, be. And then I showed you my chart, my top five, this, that, and the other. And then from those, so that's like 15, right? So from those 15 items, five B's, five do's, five has, I kind of combined those together and narrowed it down to five. Narrow it down to five. From 15, narrow it down to five. And you can pick, like I picked spiritually powerful from the B column. I picked build the kingdom in a significant way from the do column. And then I think I picked financial freedom from the have column. So you can pick from different columns, but try to come up with five. And then you could even combine them. Okay, but you want to narrow it down to five. And I really wish I had done it differently. I told you to from that go to the vision statement. I really think it would have been better to go to the list. I think I did this maybe a little backwards. So in your workbook, you could just kind of draw an arrow and flip those. So from those have do be, 15 have do be's, narrow it down to five, top five vision items. And you can see I combined a little bit. Like number three, I combined travel the world and advance the kingdom. And I put that into one. Okay, so maybe cheating a little bit. I combined financially free with the internet based, you know, business. Right? So a little bit of a combining there. I think I also combined fit and fabulous. You know, I said I want to be fit, but also I want to look good. You know, I'm getting older, but you know, I still wanna look good. My kids were so happy. We went into one of these like teenage stores, and I'm like finding all these outfits I love, and I'm like, I found my store, and they're like, my mom is shopping at Hollister. What's going on? They just thought it was the most hilarious thing. But yeah, age appropriate. Anyway, so that maybe would be a better way to do it. So does this make sense? You've got your huge list of 100. You've labeled them as this a have, a do, or a be. Then go back through the 100 have, do, be's. Pick the top five, and then from the top five, pick those or combine them, mix and match, and narrow it down from that chart to a list of five. Okay. But again, I probably have 5, 6, 7, 8. I think I have 8 that I've kind of combined together. And then from there, you flip this, do the vision statement. Okay. So I went from here. Is this making sense? I went from a list of spiritually powerful, having soul control, being professionally polished as a life coach, relationally blessing my family with wisdom and joy, being physically fit and fabulous, to doing see the world, cruise the Mediterranean, build the kingdom in a significant way, live abroad for extended periods in Turkey and Colombia, create a top internet site, have a personal trainer, household staff to handle routine stuff, financial freedom, time freedom, and a size 6 wardrobe. Okay, I probably just under B should have put physically fit because I have the fabulous size 6 wardrobe over there in half. So see, perfection, you don't have to be perfect. So from there, I went to this list. Fit and fabulous, prophetic discerner, travel the world, advance the kingdom. Are you seeing how we do that? And then turn it into a statement. I'm a fit and fabulous, power-packed, prophetic discerner, financially free, internet-based teacher, traveling the world to advance the kingdom, blessing my family with the gifts of wisdom, joy, and provision. So I hope that helps. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. If you have questions, come into the Facebook group and we can help you work through it. And as I said, you could, you know, write the list first, then the vision statement. In the workbook, I had put write the vision statement, then the list, and I think this is probably a better way to do it. Here's the point. Our goal is to make this actionable, to prepare to go from dreams and visions to putting feet to our faith. That's the objective. So put together your top 5 vision list from your have to be list and then turn that into sentence form. That's your assignment. Okay, that wraps up the vision portion of this program. Now we're on to a plan based on your predetermined priorities, based on that have to be list and the statements and et cetera. So we want to turn your ultimate you vision statements and personal mission statement into a plan. And how do we do that? By setting SMART goals. And I can't imagine. I mean, if you've been on the planet for any amount of time, you've heard the SMART goals. I mean, it's like, you should have a quiet time. You should set SMART goals. I mean, like, we all know that. So I don't think I'm going to belabor this too much. But in case someone has never heard this, in order for a goal to be SMART, it's got to be specific. We all have a million great ideas and grand intentions floating around in our precious little head, but we got to get specific about the one thing. How many things? One thing. 10 things? 20 things? 30 things? One thing you absolutely positively are going to focus on for 21 days. And I've even challenged some of you, you might need to just focus on one thing for the year. And I wouldn't pick more than 3 things for the year. But certainly for this 21 days, I'd like you to kind of think, okay, what is something that out of this larger goal for the year that I can chunk out and get done during these 21 days. And again, when I say during these 21 days, they can start whenever you want. That can start from day one of the class. You could start it next week. As I said, we have an extra, you could start your 21 days when the class ends and you've got 30 more days in the classroom. It's up to you, okay? Measurable. You know, oh, I want to grow spiritually and I want to have better relationships. That's great, but it's vague. You got to land the plane. You've got to quantify it and make it something that you can measure. It's got to be achievable. This is extremely important. I'm going to camp out. You want a goal that stretches you, but that can be achieved. And if you're not sure, you got to try a gut check. I'm going to camp here because this is huge. This is not a time for a pros and cons list. It's not a time to get in your head. And I'm like really in my head. Again, I was taught don't trust your gut. Don't trust what you're, you know, sensing. So this has been a huge challenge for me and maybe for some of you. But I want you to begin to listen because that's like the Holy Spirit. That's like your inner, you know, God made you to be and to do and to have. And there's a part of you deep inside that knows it. But some of you don't. You're like me. You don't trust it. When you have a desire, you're like, oh, well, this is probably, God doesn't want this. This is probably me making it up, right? But trust it. I know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things, but not when you're near to the heart of the Father. When your heart is in alignment with God and you're in His presence, then your desires are of the Father. I think then you can trust it. The heart sanctified and covered in the blood of Jesus. I think there's a sense in which we can trust that. We've got to be balanced. So close your eyes. Think of that one specific goal and think about pursuing that goal. Think of yourself in pursuit of that goal. How do you feel? This is huge. You need to evaluate, is it achievable? If it's too big and unachievable, you will feel afraid, filled with doubt and dread. How do you feel right now? You're like, oh, I can't. I mean, just really dig deep. How do I feel? Can I see myself doing that this year? Or does setting that goal make me think, oh, I'm definitely setting myself up to failure? Then that goal is not achievable for you right now. Even if technically you could do it, it might be achievable for someone else or for you in the future. But if you don't believe you can do it, you can't believe. You can't. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is what leads to procrastination, guys. This right here. This is where procrastination comes from. Because you set this lofty goal and you're like, this is the year I'm going to change everything about myself. I'm going to memorize the entire Bible, lose 1,000 pounds, get out of debt, and hike a mountain, you know. And right away, that self-sabotage comes in and says, there is no way that you're going to get any of that done. And you know what you're doing? You're going to set yourself up to fail. You're going to look ridiculous. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be disappointed. No, 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 no. So right away, that competing goal comes in, the goal of not setting up your, you know, whatever it is for you. I don't want to set myself up to fail. I don't want to set myself up to look ridiculous. I don't want to set myself up to be disappointed again. So you know what? I'm just going to have to run for the exit. This is where procrastination comes in, right here. This is where self-sabotage comes in, right here. Because you've set something that for you, not right now, for you right now is too big and unachievable. And you deep inside, you know the answer. Your heart knows the truth. So trust your gut a little bit. Really sit with this. This is huge. If this is all we do today, we've had a good day. Really sit with this and really understand. Too many goals that are too big. You're setting yourself up to fail. And the minute you set yourself up to fail, because nobody wants to be a failure. So you've got to run for the exit. If I move forward and actually follow through with this, I'm going to fail. I'm out of here. I'm walking away from this thing. No way. I'd rather walk away than feel like I failed again. I'd rather not try at all than try and fail again. This is it. I'm telling you. A lot of you are like, oh, why am I procrastinating? This is the source of self-sabotage. And we'll say more about competing goals. But this is a big one. Or maybe it's not big enough, not worth achieving. My goal, I think I actually had some, my goal is to make it through the day. You know, my goal is to survive another week. That's my goal. Okay. Are you with me? No, I'm serious. I actually once had someone say that to me. My goal is to make it through the week. If I can make it through the day, that's amazing. If the feeling you get is ho-hum, you need to aim higher. I'm probably, if you're in this class, that's not you, right? I don't think you would be here if that's you. So for most of you, the problem is you're making the goal too big. I'm going to write 5 novels this year. I'm going to write a novel every other month. No, you're not. You're looking for the sweet spot. And how do you know you found the sweet spot? How do you feel? If you think about it, you picture yourself pursuing that goal. Do you see yourself achieving it? I mean, realistic, dreaming, but like a realistic dream, okay? If you're like filled with hope and expectation, you're nervous, but you're excited, but you're like, this is going to stretch me. I'm really going to have to work, but I can do it if I give it all I've got and I really go all in. I can do this thing. With God's help, I can scale a mountain with God's help. I can do exploits. Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. I can do this thing. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, I'm going to need a plan. Yeah, I'm going to need some encouragement and accountability. But you know, I really think I can do this thing. You know, great example, a direct sales company. I did direct sales and yeah, I got the car. You know, I don't know if it was a crazy thing to do, but I was in a direct sales company. I did it for a couple years. And, I got the car. It was cute. It was a little BMW sports car convertible. And it was fun. My kids loved it. All their teenage friends came over like, oh, your mom is so cool. And then they'd drive. They were like, can I drive your car, Mrs. Partell? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Drive the car. I don't care. And all the kids would be driving it around the church parking lot in circles. So, it's all good. But we would have people, you know, in the direct sales company, you know, 2 years later, they're still at level one and would say, okay, well, set a goal for this year. And they're like, okay, I want to be the, you know, a diamond, ruby, multi-gajillionaire. No, you're not. You're going to self-sabotage and self-destruct and procrastinate and run for the exit. Now, God gave me that yesterday. Run for the exit. That's what you do. You run for the exit. I'm out of here. I can't do this. Yeah, because you set yourself up to fail. Maybe your goal is to get to the next level. Right? Or maybe a couple levels up. Something that's achievable. Does this help? Is this helping somebody? I guarantee this is like a huge light bulb moment for somebody. You're like, I've been running for the exit all my, I'm going to pray right now. You've been running for the exit your whole life. You have been running for the exit your whole life. And you've been exiting your own, you've been exiting your life. God, I just pray right now that you would give your people courage. This time, they're not going to run for the exit. They're not going to run for the exit. They're going to really get quiet before you and in your presence. They're going to get clarity, and they're going to find that sweet spot. They're going to find that thing that with your help, they really can do and really feel victorious. And it's going to be beautiful. And they're going to develop skill. They're going to develop skill in the process. And they're going to develop character in the process. And then next year, they'll be able to do something bigger because they have more skill and they've developed more character and more emotional intelligence and more internal fortitude and better relationship skills. And then the next year, they're going to set an even bigger goal and they're going to be able to do that because who they be is changing on the inside. Just stay in the process. Stay in the room. Stay in the game. Stay on the journey. Every time you run for the exit, you're back to square one. Every time you run for the exit, you're back to square one. And some of you are like, why am I still at square one? Why do I always feel like I'm just starting over at the starting gate? This is why. This is why. You know what? I've run long distance all my life. Not all. Well, I started when I was in... was it sophomore year? Something. Sophomore, junior year. One of those. I think sophomore year. I started with the cross country team. That's like 3.5 miles, but it's through woods and, you know, it's crazy. You know me. You've met me, right? I'm crazy. Went through woods and fields and, you know, anyway. But always along the path, they have refreshment stands. Yeah, when I did the rock and roll marathon in Phoenix, every mile they had a band and water and Gatorade and, you know, refreshment. And you start running that 26 miles through whatever that distance is. You run out and you get some refreshment. You don't turn around and then you run on to the next one. You don't go back to the starting gate. Can you imagine? See, this is what most people do. They run halfway to the first refreshment stand and turn around and go back to the starting point. And then they run halfway to the refreshment stand and go back to the starting point. And then they run halfway to the refreshment stand and go back to the starting gate. See, meanwhile, the rest of us are, those who were, have a little bit of a plan. We run to the first refreshment place, get some encouragement, get some nourishment. Everybody's clapping. They're like, yay, you're a rock star. You're in the rock and roll marathon. There's a band cheering for you. People yelling, waving, hey. And then we go forward to the next one. And we get to the next one a mile later, and there's a rock band cheering and people waving, giving me Gatorade, like, oh, you're so awesome. You go. And then go to the next one. Meanwhile, there you are, running halfway to the refreshment stand, back to the starting gate. Halfway to the refreshment, back to the starting gate. And you know what? By the end of the marathon, you've probably run, listen to me, you've probably run further than I have. You've probably extended more effort and energy and mental wear and tear and emotional wear and tear than I have. This is such a picture. I am telling you, the Lord just totally gave me this vision, and I am totally seeing some of you. I actually see a specific person. If you would just keep moving forward, do you know where you'd be right now? You would be at the finish line with a medal around your chest. I'm not even kidding you. So why don't you make a goal to just make it to the first refreshment stand? That was my goal. That was it. I'm like, I'm going to make it to the next refreshment stand. That's it. Like making that 26 miles. By about the 20th mile, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is just really getting a little bit crazy over here. I would love to hear from some of you. Did I just describe you? Some of you get about 10 feet from the refreshment stand and turn around and go back to the starting gate. And so you're putting out all that effort and you're never getting any encouragement, never getting any refreshment, never getting any rewards, always feeling like you're failing and falling short and not making it and not cutting it. And all you have to do is just keep going. If you would have just kept going forward. This so applies to all the yo-yo dieters. And I've been there, done that, yo-yo dieting. I'm honest. My binge eating, that was my eating disorder. Yeah, binger. I get it. This is it. By now, if you had just kept going forward, you would have met your goal long ago. You've put in more effort than people who are just feeling great and loving life right now. And there you are back at the starting gate again. Wow, this is just such a word for somebody. Wow, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. See, it's not that you can't. It's that you believe you can't. And so you just keep going back. I'm going to say it again. It's not that you can't. You're putting in all the same effort that other people are putting in. It's not that you can't. You already are. It's just you don't believe you can. So you go back to the start, second guessing yourself, running for the exit, running back to the starting line. You run for the exit, and then you got to start over. Run for the exit, then you got to start over. Run for the exit, you got to start over. So what's the key? Is anybody? The sweet spot. Set a goal that you can achieve, okay? Here's the goal. Figure out what the first rest stop is, that first place where you can get some refreshment in the form of a reward. And then don't go back to the start. Don't run for the exit. Go to the next one. This is how I live my life. And sometimes I run for the exit and sometimes I want to give up. But for the most part, maybe that cross-country training taught me. You just run to the next refreshment stand. Run to the next little reward. And keep going forward. Oh boy, I hope this is helping somebody, and I feel like it is. Wow. Think Goldilocks, but don't overthink it. Right? This isn't a think thing. This is a gut and a feeling thing and a vision that close your eyes, just like I said. And then there needs to be a reward attached. We're going to do a whole section on rewards, but I at least want to go through it real quick here. Of course, achieving a worthwhile goal is rewarding itself. And I'll have people tell me that, that'll be the reward. No, listen, the greatest management principle in the world, behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. Yeah, being at the 26.2 mark and looking up, if I live to be a million, I'll never forget looking up and seeing my children at the finish line. And they looked at me and they just started sobbing with such joy and pride. They looked up. I was a catastrophe. I was just dying. I told the story. I trained in the desert My entire training was in the desert, and then I showed up, and guess what? It was on the roads. So by halfway point, my feet were covered in blisters. I ran the entire second half of that marathon on a bed of blisters, agony every step of the way. So by the time I got to the finish line, I must have looked like death, and my kids looked up and they just burst out, just sobbing. Because they knew, wow, you know, our mom is just going to do what she says she's going to do no matter what. Our mom's a no matter what woman. They knew it. They'll never doubt that again. But if the only time I got a reward or any refreshment or any encouragement was that moment, I wouldn't have made it. Just telling you. I needed refreshment and encouragement every mile. So pick a tangible reward to complement the intangible rewards that you're surely going to experience from a job well done. Would you trust me on this? Now, we're going to be doing a deep dive, but I want to give you some guidelines. The reward should match the achievement. So if you think about what your goal is and a suitable reward would be a Starbucks latte, then you know your goal's not lofty enough. It should be a significant enough goal that you're willing to reward it with an expenditure of like $50 to $100. And again, your finances will determine that. But it should be a pretty big deal. Or maybe a half day of doing. It doesn't have to be spending money. It could be just a half day of doing something that you truly love. Again, I do really deep dive into this later. Pick a reward that motivates you. Something you would not normally give yourself. If you get facials all the time and you're going to get one whether or not you achieve your goal, then a facial isn't the right reward. It should be something special. And this is huge. And I really feel like I need to say this to somebody. The only way you're going to truly appreciate rewards is if you immediately stop rewarding yourself for all the wrong behavior. Because otherwise, this won't work. This will not work for you. If you're like, oh, that reward system, Don, and I've had people, I've done this in another class, they're like, oh, it didn't motivate people. Why? Because they reward themselves no matter what. They reward themselves all. They're always shopping and going out and having lattes and da da da, and they're rewarding all the wrong behavior. So it's no big deal. I have a fight with my husband, I go get a massage. My kids make me crazy, I go get a facial. Somebody at church ticks me off, I go blow $200. So you're rewarding yourself all the time with all the wrong behavior. Then this won't work for you. So it's really critical. Now you're like, Donna, I was loving you a few minutes ago. I'm not loving you so much right now. And remember, Donna doesn't wake up to hurt people's feelings. You know, I'm just telling you what's up. Some of you need to make a decision. You are immediately, not because Donna said so or because Donna hurt your feelings, but because your life is worth it. Immediately stop rewarding yourself for all the wrong behavior. What rewards do you need to stop giving yourself unless you've earned them? Come on now. I'm talking to some of you ladies right now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to tell you this. You will enjoy those rewards so much more when you've earned them. That's the way God made us. Same reward, very different experience emotionally. Same reward, very different experience emotionally. My husband ticked me off. That's it. I'm going shopping. And then you throw $200 on your credit card without batting an eye. Never kid a kidder. I have people come and they're like, can I get a scholarship for the $47 class? I'm like, never kid a kidder. You're contacting me on your $500 iPad. Yet you spend money on whatever you want to spend. I'm talking to first world people. Okay, I'm talking to people in the U.S. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? I go to Walmart. I go to Target. I watch people. They don't bat an eye. They go through, throw a ton of, they're mad at their husband. They're mad at their kids. They just need some shopping therapy. They throw all kinds of stuff in that cart. They $400, $500, swipe their card. They don't think twice. Never kid a kidder. Am I allowed to be this honest? Am I allowed? Is it okay? Or are you going to run for the exits? I don't know. It's up to you. I can't be attached to the results. I just got to be obedient. I just have to tell the truth, right? Versus, so how does that feel? You went and bought all that junk. You don't even know what half the junk is. And then it's cluttering. And then you've got to hide it from your husband in the closet and hope he doesn't find it. Come on, ladies. I've been at this for a lot of years. Versus, set a goal. Pick a $200 reward. Tell your whole family, man, this is what mom's doing. This is the reward I'm going to get. You can all come with me when I go get it and pick it up and pick it out. This is the dress I'm going to buy myself. This is the massage day I'm going to have. And then you achieve the goal, and then you enjoy the reward with no shame, no regret. You shop with your head held high. How do you want to live? Who do you want to be? It's not about stuff. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you and your character. I'm talking about you and your character. And I'm talking about you loving life. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody getting it? And here's the flip side. If you routinely set goals and reward yourself, and you're living a rewarding life, this is a rewarding life. You don't need to comfort, cope, and escape. Because your life is rewarding. And no one tries to comfort, cope, and escape a rewarding life. See, this will neutralize by setting great goals, achievable goals. Make a goal every week. Or a goal every 2 weeks. Certainly a goal every month that has a reward. Then you don't need to, you know, go have shopping therapy. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Because you're loving life. Dire consequences. No way I can do it today. We're just going to come back to that later. Target date. This one's obvious. The last day of the class. Or if you want to add the 30 days. So in 51 days. Whatever you want to do. You can plan your whole year. And you know, what are your rewards going to be all year? I think a monthly reward is fantastic. So here's what I want to do this year. This is what I need to do each month. This is the reward I'm going to get each month. And then the end of the year, I'm going to have a huge reward and then work for it. And I, you know what? The research was done. I'm talking to women now. Husbands will do anything to make their wife happy. A normal husband, 99% of husbands will do anything to make you happy. If you set a reward that's going to make you a better wife, a better mother, a better human being, that's going to make you feel better about yourself, your husband would do anything to support that. If he really believes you're going to do it, right? I mean, he's got to believe you're not going to run for the exit again. Amen. But I think your whole family would get excited and get on board. We see this in the 90-day renewal. I mean, families, when they start to see, hey, mom's not playing around. She's really having lemon water and spinach for breakfast. I mean, mom really is waking up every day and going for a walk. I mean, mom really is. She actually set up a prayer room, and she really is in there praying and worshiping God. This is so cool. And everybody gets excited. Other people are going to want to reward you, and they're going to rejoice with you. And if you can pick a reward, they're like, you know what? I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and then we're all going to go to Disneyland as a family. So all of a sudden, maybe your kids aren't bringing Cheetos home because they're like, hey, wow, when mom loses 50 pounds, we're all going to Disneyland. This, we are in it to win it. I think we better start chopping up some spinach and making some green smoothies for mom. Maybe we could invite mom to go play on the trampoline, because we all know when mom loses 50 pounds, we're going to Disneyland. And the truth is, you're probably going to Disney. You know, if you're going to go to Disneyland, whether or not you lose the weight, then it doesn't work. Just see what I mean? This is the problem in the United States. We're constantly rewarding all the wrong behavior. So that when we're like, okay, well, I'm going to start rewarding the right behavior, it's like, well, I already have all these rewards anyway. I reward myself every time someone hurts my feelings. Anyway, I'm camping out too long on that. Let's move on. Why choose an achievable goal? Just real quick. And again, this is in your workbook, but it's far better to succeed at a smaller goal than set yourself up to fail with an impossible one. Did we get that? I think if that's all we got today, momentum is real. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. Fundamental law of the universe, law of thermodynamics. One small success leads to another small success. And soon you have a ball of success rolling, whereas failure stops momentum and stops you dead in your track. That's why I keep saying, make it an achievable goal. Make it something so easy you can't not do it. Emotions are contagious. If you spend 21 days operating in fear and doubt and dread, everybody around you is going to pick up on the emotions. And because your family loves you, they're going to be like, I don't think you should be doing this. This isn't a good idea. It's not going to work for you. Because they see you just getting worse and worse, deeper and deeper into the hole. Like, oh, mom's going to run for the exit again. Let's just stop this one before it starts. Spiritual atmosphere is real. When you walk in dark emotions like fear and doubt and dread, and you're constantly, you know, self-sabotaging and procrastinating and wandering, you're in darkness. God is light. He has no fellowship with darkness. And to put it bluntly, you know, you're stepping into the devil's playground. Then he's got you right where he wants you. And then he's messing with your head. Why do you even bother? Or you're never going to change. All his, you know, all his usual bag of lies. This works for other people. This is going to work for you. Donna doesn't intend on it. She crazy. That woman's crazy. Well, you listen to that crazy woman. You just get a refund. That woman's nuts. Mm-hmm. Satan is Beelzebub, the lord of the flies. And flies are attracted to death, including the death of your dreams. When you set yourself up for failure by taking on more than you can handle, you set yourself up for a type of emotional death that's very dangerous spiritually. And that's why, you know, some of you, like, every time I set a goal, I end up depressed and defeated and worse off than when I began. This is why. This is why. I'm showing you right now. Holy Spirit showing you. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise, his throne room with confidence. If we want to draw near to God, we need to position ourselves so that our lives are filled with things to be thankful for praise and confidence. And it just makes sense that succeeding at small goals is far more likely to fill us with these emotions than failure. So prioritize. And I think this is the last thing that we're going to cover today. I spell this out in the book. It seems complicated, but once you start doing it, it's easy. This helped me so much. I think I mentioned on the webinar, I had a business coach, $125 an hour, but it was worth it because he gave me this thing. He's like, focus changes everything. And one of my mottos is you can't wage battles on all fronts. You really can't. It doesn't work. And so we do it by process of elimination, okay? So you make your list of those five items, right, that we just talked about from your vision list. I want to be fit and fabulous, financially free, you know, whatever that is. And then each time comparing the items from your list and say, if I could only do one, which one would it be, right? If I could only do one this year, okay, if I could only do one of these, which one would it be? What's more important for me to be fit and fabulous? Is that more important? Or is it more important for me to be spiritually powerful? Which one is more important? Well, I think spiritually powerful. Okay. Well, if I could only be spiritually powerful or travel the world, which would I want to do? Which is more important to me this year? Yeah, I think I need to be spiritually powerful. Oh, okay. And you go through and think about it for the year. And then pick one. Which one is the most important? Which one is the lead domino that's really going to make the biggest difference in your life? And then you could do that within the 21 days. You could break it down again. Okay, so I've picked Fit and Fabulous as my number one. And within that, I could either take up an eating plan or a diet or a trainer, you know, whatever. And you can do this within the goal. Does that make sense? And then prioritize. Is it goal number one or goal number two? Okay, so the winner of that versus goal number three and so on. And you can really spend some time and go through each one after you have your number one priority, then start the process all over again. Okay, so these are the four I have left. Well, would I do number two or number three or number three or number one? And, you know, and really, really break it down. And I think you will be shocked. Every time I do this, I'm shocked at what ends up being my number one. And then list them in order. List them in order. Now, here's the big secret. And I know you're going to be, Donna doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Ignore number two, three, four, and five. Don't give them any thought or effort. Focus exclusively on your number one goal. I promise. A confused mind says no. A confused mind says no. A confused mind runs for the exit. Like, I don't know, what am I supposed to be fit? Am I supposed to be memorizing the Bible? I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Focus. Focus has power. Focus exclusively on your number one goal. And if you get it achieved early, if you get it achieved by July, well, then go to number two. Now, and this is important too, and I know some of you don't like writing, and you're like, oh, stop telling us to write things. Try the voice note thing, but I do think this is important. Write a summary of why you believe that goal beat out all the others. What was your thought process? What were you feeling? This would be a really good one to make a voice note on so that you can listen to that over and over again. Why is that one of all the ones, all the top five? You started with 100, narrowed it down to 15. From the 15, you narrowed it down to 5. And then from the 5, you chose the 1. Why? Why is that? Why that one? Really share your thought process and what you were thinking as you were going through this exercise. Put that either in writing or on a voice note. Really, I'd prefer a voice note. Or you could do a video, you know, on your little camera. Just make a little video. You could go into Periscope and just record it for the world. Get some accountability going. So you not just made a decision. Hey, world, I'm here on Periscope today and just want to let you know this is what I'm doing this year. And review it over and over daily. Honestly, just take a few minutes and listen to it every day or reread it. So I hope that helps somebody. Let me pray and wrap this recording because this was long. Okay, so God, we just love you. We love you, love you, love you. I pray it didn't hurt anybody's feelings and that no one's running for the exit. I just love you, Lord. But you made me to just be transparent, and I just don't know how to be anything other than transparent and real and honest. And so God, I just pray that if there's anything I said that I said just because I'm from New Jersey, that you would just cover that under the blood of Jesus and that it would be washed away. But every word that I spoke that was from wisdom or just even directly from the Holy Spirit, I pray that hearts would be open and teachable and receptive and eager to know, hey, you know what? What am I not seeing? What's the missing piece here? What do you need to show me, God? God, what do you want to show me, God? What's the missing piece? What am I not seeing? That is a person who can just, there's no stopping a person who will ask that question and those types of questions. There's no stopping. That's why God loved David. David was so open and teachable. When Nathan came and said, you blew it, he's like, wow, you're right. I blew it. You're right. I blew it. I need to repent. I need to change. I need to get it together. You're right. I wasn't even seeing that. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't see it. Thank you for showing me. I'm going to go write Psalm 51. I'm going to help some other people. I blew it. I made a mistake. But thank you. Thank you for being friend enough, Nathan, to tell me the truth. Because everybody else around here is like being polite, afraid to confront me. But you told me the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Thank you, Nathan. You told me the truth. And I'm going to get it together. I'm going to get before my God and humble myself. And out of that, I'm going to write a psalm that is going to bless so many tens and hundreds of millions of people throughout all of human history. I'm not going to run for the exit because somebody told me the truth. I'm going to run to my knees and say, Lord, what do I do next? Now I've seen the truth about me. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy and thank you that your mercies are new every morning and that tomorrow I'm just wash me clean and tomorrow will be a brand new fresh start and you'll be with me, God, to move me forward. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for those who are here and persevering. And Lord, I pray that they would continue and that they would finish what they start because you are an author and a finisher. You are an author and a finisher and you finish what you start. You promise to be faithful to finish the work you've started in them, but not if they run for the exit, right? So I pray that they would just practice finishing. A lot of the people listening to the sound of my voice are like, I start things I never finish. Start by finishing this. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Become a finisher by finishing this class. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. You're so good to us. Amen. Okay, so that should, God willing, end the recording. And I'm going to see if anybody has anything they want to say. Lots of people in the room, very encouraging. You can raise your hand. Raise your hand if there's something that you want to share. Something that spoke to you, something that blessed you, and you're excited to share. You raise your hand and I can unmute you. You can all hear what you have to say. Anybody? Oh, here we go. Well, I tried to unmute you. I don't know if it worked. Linda? Maybe it did. Hey, Linda, can you hear me? Linda, can you hear me? I just unmuted you. Well, that one didn't work. Well, we'll get better at this. I'm not sure why that one didn't work. We'll try another one. Here we go. I'm kind of scrolling through. Let's try this one. Pam, can you hear me? Pam, can you hear me? Yes. Okay, wonderful. Hey, what did you want to share?
Oh, I didn't raise my hand, but I'll share.
The machine raised your hand for you, so God must want you to say something. Share what's on your heart.
Well, I started late, so I feel a little bit confused, but I know I'm supposed to be where I'm at. But I'm glad I'm here because I did hesitate to start the class, but you're talking to me, girl.
Okay. Yeah. No running for the exit. You're in it now, girl.
I'm in it. And I appreciate that.
All right, sweetie. God bless you, dear. Let's see. Anybody else? I'm just scrolling through. We'd love to hear your testimony of what God is doing. If not, we can wrap up. No? Not really seeing anybody else. Hey, here we go. We got one. James, can you hear me? James, I just unmuted you. Your hand was raised. No. James, are you there? No, maybe not. Maybe they ran for the exit. We'll try one more and then we'll just wrap it up because I know we're running late. Frida, you had your hand raised. Frida, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you. I was getting nervous. I'm like, hey, is this working? So Frida, what did you want to share?
I'm so touched today because this morning, it's when I go into your session, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here.
Wow.
And I did not want to wake up for this session this morning. And I was telling God, I'm too tired this morning. I'll just listen to the recording. And then I guess my body heard it because it says, I felt like it said, no, you're starting a routine. You gotta do this today. You have to wake up. So I go to the room that I usually meet, and then somebody was in there. I'm thinking, okay, God, maybe I shouldn't do this today.
I love this.
And then the person left the room, and I said, yeah, I have my spot back. I said, it's so crazy. It was crazy this morning. In just like 5-10 minutes, things changed to where I could just be in the space that I needed to be in. And I just love today because I've struggled with my diabetes for like years now. And this is the year I have to do something about it. I have to be on top of it. I gotta see my doctor in a couple weeks. And I'm like, how do you do this? And you're talking about making mini goals. And I love the illustration about the marathon and getting to the refreshment station.
That was for you. Cool.
And then going to the next refreshment station as like all these little goals that is achievable. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do this year? Because you said, like, do one to three goals or set those goals. And I'm thinking, I want to do all of them. But I can't do all of them. I have to pick one. And I think for right now, it's the, you know, concentrating on my diabetes.
Absolutely.
I do have a doctor's appointment.
Absolutely. That sounds like a great decision.
Thank you. Thank you for this morning.
Let me pray for you and for others, because you're not alone with that. So, Father, I just pray for Frida, and I bless her. And I just bless her for getting up at 6 a.m. And I don't know what it is about that number. And again, I'm not a big number person, but so many people that I really respect and admire, even throughout history, they do get up at 6 a.m. They get up really early and they get a jump start on the day. And I think there's something to it. And I've actually, one of my goals is to get up at 6 a.m. And so you did that this morning. And so I bless you for that. And I just want to pray for everybody who struggles to get out of bed in the morning. I just want to pray for everybody who knows, you know, I really need to be getting up about an hour earlier than I am right now. I need to be getting up before the rest of the household and before I need to run for the door and start my day. So I just want to pray for that, everyone who's in that situation, Lord, that you would give them grace and spur them on, just like you spurred on Frida. But most of all, I want to pray that she would really lock on to this goal. That this really is, everything else can wait. She needs to get free of this diabetes, and she needs to be healed. She needs to be healed this year. She is healed of this diabetes. And Father, I pray that you would give her strategy and that she would really lock on to the first 1 mile mark. She's just got to get to the 1 mile mark and get some refreshment, some encouragement, be spurred on so that she can make it to the next step and the next one and the next one. God, that she would just not even think about, oh, I've got to get free of all this weight and all these. No, no, no. All she has to do is set the first goal. Set her goal. Where is she going to be on January 30th? Where is she going to be in the end of January? Okay. That's all we need to focus on. And I pray for everybody who needs to reverse diabetes or other health conditions or lose weight, whatever their goal is, that they would find a way not to be overwhelmed, but to focus on that first mile marker. Thank you, God. Thank you for her and for her sharing. That was awesome. And let me see if there was maybe one more. I don't want these sessions to run like eternally because we're meeting every day, right? April's raised her hand, and this will be the last one. April, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Thanks, Donna.
We're hearing you. What did you want to share?
I just wanted to first thank God for you and for this class because it has been a blessing to my life. I have been struggling with my weight, and after I had my last son, my blood pressure went up for some reason, and I couldn't get it to go down. Where I had been telling myself for years, April, you need to lose weight to get your blood pressure down, and I had no motivation. Like, I wanted to do it, but I was so overwhelmed about trying to lose weight that it seemed like it was too much. So almost at the end of last year, I started, okay, I'm going to work out. And so as of now, I have lost 32 pounds. I'm still not at my goal yet. I had decided I would reward myself at the end by giving myself a new wardrobe, where I'm still 15 pounds to go, but I have not lost faith like I normally would have. And just being here today and listening to you, I know how many times I've turned around and I've given up, and I've said it's too much and it's not worth it, but I know now that my life is worth it, and my kids seeing me healthy is worth it, and the mission and the ministry that I have for God is worth
me
pushing beyond myself.
Amen.
To do what it is that God has called me to do in this point in time in my life, because I want to be all that God wants me to be, and my weight has hindered me so much, but I thank God that I'm hearing that I made a big sacrifice, because I'm really not working. I'm back in school. That's another goal that I'm accomplishing this year. I'm going to graduate college finally, and I thank God for the sacrifice, because I believe in the sacrifice of the $47 that God has bless my life and my family. And I just thank you, Donna. You don't know how much of a blessing you are to my life, how much of a blessing this class is to my life. I just thank God for it, Donna. And I thank God for you, and I pray that he blesses you even more for all that you pour out and all that you sacrifice for us during these 21 days. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful.
I hear it in your voice. This is your year. I hear in your voice that you have got it at the deepest level of your spirit and your being. You are worth it. Your destiny is worth it. Your children are worth it. You are worth it. Father, I bless my sister in Jesus' name. I bless her because she is fearfully and wonderfully made. She is fearfully and wonderfully made. And she is beautiful. And I say that she ends this year radiant. I say that she ends this year triumphant. I say she ends this year, this New Year's Eve, she's getting a medal around her neck. And I want you to see yourself on New Year's Eve with people, you know, they've got their horns and woo-hoo, and they've got their pointy hats, and you've got a medal, and you are just radiant and you are glowing. And you're like, all these people in New York Times Square, they don't know, but they're celebrating me. Yeah, I don't know what they think they're celebrating. No, I don't know what they think they're celebrating, but all that clapping, all that hoopla, all those fireworks, that's all about me and what God did in my life, because this really was my best year ever. This was the year I got it into this at the cellular level that I am worth living life. I am worth it. My kids are worth it. My destiny is worth it. All the lives that I'm going to touch. You said I touched your life, April. How about all the lives you're going to touch? All the lives that you're going to touch, they are all worth it. The world awaits that moment when you arise and step into your rightful place in the kingdom of God. There are so many people, April, waiting for you to step into your place, that place that God has prepared for you from before the foundation of time, that place that God, when he was knitting you together in your mother's womb, he knew the place that he prepared for you. And right now, that's an empty place. I want you to picture a throne. Would you picture a throne? It's red velvet and gold. Why are you not sitting there? Why are you not sitting there? Why? That's your rightful place. And I want you to picture yourself walking up the aisle on New Year's Eve with all these people cheering, and you are slowly walking up the aisle with your train and your tiara, and you are walking toward that throne, that place that God has prepared and ordained for you, that place of a kingdom authority. And you are walking and you turn and you sit and you say, yes, God, this is my rightful place. Seated with Christ in heavenly places, wielding spiritual authority, ushering in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's your vision. You run with that vision. Amen, amen, amen. This was so much fun. God is fun. The Holy Spirit's fun. God loves you. I love you. I know I'm from New Jersey, but I love you. My love is telling you the truth. That's it. My love is pouring out my life and just telling you like it is. That's it. That's how I show you my love. Some people show you love. I mean, I watch Joel Osteen too. I love Joel Osteen. He's so encouraging. He's so positive. I mean, sometimes you just got to have Joel Osteen. I love to listen to his podcast. He's amazing. He has a very different call. My call is the refiner's fire. I bring the fire of God. I bring the refiner's fire. I bring the purifying fire of God. That's what I bring. So my suggestion, wake up early, listen to Joel Osteen and get some encouragement, get some positive reinforcement, and then come here. Or that's probably what I would do. Or you could like listen to this and they're like, okay, I got the fire. God's purifying me tonight. I think I'm going to listen to Joel. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you on the Facebook group. I'm going to go listen to Joel myself.